بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 15th of July in the year 2020 alhamdulillah we've completed the first week and it being the final night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of our dear and beloved mother, Sayyida Juwayriya radiyallahu anha. So the next section is entitled, Her Stipend During the Era of the Khilafah al-Rashidi. Our beloved mother, Sayyida Juwayriya radiyallahu anha, was just 26 years of age upon the tragic passing away of our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is related in Ibn Sa'd and Istabaqat, that from the lands taken after the Battle of Khaybar, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had fixed for Sayyida Juwayriya radiallahu anha 80 wasak of dates and 20 wasak of barley. So, again, a few things need clarifying. Our beloved mothers radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they couldn't marry again because of their status with our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Most of them were still in the prime of their youth. So our beloved messenger himself left a yearly amount of food for them. 80 wasak of dates and 20 wasak of barley. And this was after Khaybar fell. The reason being that now they have plenty of food. Before that, it was more austere. Then after our beloved messenger left the world, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his successor Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu fixed an equal amount to be given to the mother of believers for their annual household expenses. So Abu Bakr didn't change anything. He gave 80 wasak of dates, 20 wasak of barley to every one of the mothers of the believers. However, after Islam had spread rapidly thereafter and the wealth thereupon came to the capital in abundance, Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu decided to convert their annual allowance into a monetary sum. Initially, the Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had decided to allot to both beloved mothers, Safiya and Juwayriya radiallahu anhu, less than the other mothers of the believers. Why was that? And I mentioned that in a bit, inshallah. So, what was the difference? So, the same amount was going to be given to the mothers of the believers, but now in money. And the reason being, because obviously Islam has spread now all over the Roman Empire, the Persian Empire. So the money, it was converted to money. However, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, initially was of the view that two of the mothers, Safiya and Juwayriya, should get less than the other mothers. In Bazar, Al-Haydami in Majma' al-Zawaid, Volume 4, page 6, he comments upon the chain of narrators. Kanzul Umal 5-594, Hayat al-Sahaba, Volume 3, page 173 of the New English Translation. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu stipulated an allowance of 12,000 for all the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, besides Safiya and Juwayriya radiallahu anhu, for whom he stipulated 6,000. The two ladies, radiyallahu anhuma, however, refused to accept the amount. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu thereupon explained that he was giving more to the others, for they had made hijrah, whereas the two of them had not made hijrah. They argued, "You have not stipulated their share because of their hijrah. You have stipulated a share for them due to their relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we all share the same relationship." Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu thereupon thought the matter over and then he stipulated an equal allowance for them all. So again, it's to do with the justice of Sayyidina Umar. Amir al-Mu'mineen, justice was proverbial and he was thinking that two of our mothers have not done hijrah. The rest had done hijrah. So he was thinking that those mothers who've done hijrah deserve more. But this shows the strength of Safiya and Jawairi. They question Amir al-Mu'mineen. He goes, the Prophet didn't stipulate it because of Hijrah or any deed, it's because of our relationship with him. And he didn't make any distinction. So Umar thought about this, radiallahu anhu, and he stipulated an equal amount. Now this doesn't mean that they were bothered about the wealth. You know, it's not like I'm losing out. They were using the wealth obviously for preparing for the Akhirat. But this is a matter of principle for the mothers. But the reason it's important to highlight this is to show to you that they were very strong women as well, radiallahu anhuma. But another mother is also mentioned. In Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Bayhaqi, volume 6, page 349, Al-Haythami in Majma al-Zawaid, volume 6, page 3, states Hassan, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 176-7 of the New English Translation, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu stipulated 10,000 for each of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, besides Jawairiya, Safiya, and Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala. However, when Aisha radiallahu anha remarked that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to treat them all with equality, Umar radiallahu anhu also did likewise and then gave them all an equal amount. So this adds a few details. One is another mother is mentioned now, Maymuna, and she also didn't do the hijrah. She was the last of the mother of the believers. So it makes sense that she was also in that category. But who spoke on their behalf? Aisha. Now think about that. She was getting the full amount, but she was speaking. So to reconcile the reports, they all approached. And Umar radiallahu anhu then gave an equal amount. And what would they do with the wealth? They were just given the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and live their lives in an austere manner like they did in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the last section is entitled, Her Passing Away to Eternal Glory. Our beloved mother Sayyida Jawairiya radiallahu anha thereafter lived a peaceful and unblemished life, worshipping her exalted Lord until the inevitable calling. Indeed, she lived on for a further 45 years or thereabouts after our beloved messenger. So look how strange. All I've discussed is really her life during the lifetime of the Prophet. That was 26 years. We've got very little knowledge about her after that. Just here, occasional report here and there. So why is that the case? This shows how secluded they were. They were fulfilling the duty given to them by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a most amazing manner. So for 45 years, imagine, if you were to ask me, what was she doing in those 45 years? So your guess is as good as mine. She was in the chamber, she probably went to Hajj with some of the mothers of the believers, but she did her worship, private. In Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat, volume 8, page 85 of the English translation, in the chapter on the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hafiz Zahabi in his Siyar 2-263, Abu al-Abyad rahmatullah alayhi relates, Sayyida Jawairiya radiyallahu anha, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, passed away in the month of Rabi al-Awwal, 56 AH, during the Khalifat of Sayyidina Muawiyah ibn Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu. The governor of Al-Madinah, Marwan ibn al-Haqm, led her funeral prayer. So let's look at this. So dates are mentioned. She passed away 56 AH. So this is about 45 years after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Most interestingly, it was the same month the Prophet passed away, Rabi al-Awwal. She passed away in the same month. Who was the Khalifa at the time? The Khalifa was now based in Sham. Damascus was the capital. Hazrat Muawiyah was the Khalif. And it was towards the latter part of his Khilafat that our mother passed away. Who had the honor of leading her funeral prayer? Marwan ibn al-Haqm, rahmatullah alayh. Right? I.e. the governor who Hazrat Muawiyah would appoint sometimes. And sometimes Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. This narration would make her age at the time of her passing at 71 years of age. For as mentioned, which I'll mention, she was 20 years of age when she got married in 5 AH with our beloved messenger. So you can work it out. In the year 5 AH, 5 years after the Hijrah, the Prophet married her, she was 20. So how many years after that did the Prophet pass away? 6 years. Add another 45. You get that age. However, Sayyida Jawairiya radiallahu anha's freed servant Muhammad ibn Yazid's grandmother, Rahmatullah alayha, had related that our beloved mother Sayyidah Jawairiyah herself had said, radiyallahu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married me when I was 20 years old. She added, Sayyidah Jawairiyah radiyallahu anha passed away in 50 AH when she was 65. And Marwan ibn al-Hakam, rahmatullah alayhi, prayed over her. This is recorded in Ibn Sa'ad in Istabaqat, volume 8, page 85 of the English translation in the chapter on the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma'riful Ahadith, volume 4, page 504 of the New English Translation. So there's an ikhtilaf. Definitely she passed away in Muawiyah's Khalifat. That's definite. Radiyallahu. Definitely she was over 60 years of age. The difference is whether she was around 71 years of age or in her mid-60s. So there's the ikhtilaf. Whatever the case, she lived on until after her 60s. This second view is the more established of the two deaths. For our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, married Jawairiyah in 5 AH. Thus, if she was 20 years old at the time, then upon her passing 45 years later, that would make her 65. So this is why the second view is preferred. You go back to the date she herself, what did she say? She said, I was 20 years old when I got married to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 5 AH. So you can work it out. Somebody goes, okay, 5 AH. So when the Prophet passed away, she was 26. Khilafah Rashidin, 30 years. That's 56. And then 11 years or so into the Khilafah of Muawiyah. There you go. 65. Or thereabouts. Those passed away. After the short illness, our dear and beloved mother, Sayyidah Jawairiyah, radiyallahu anha, daughter of the chief of Banu al-Mustaliq, Sayyidina al-Harith, radiyallahu anha, the one who chose our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, over her own father, radiyallahu anha, the one divinely informed of her imminent marriage to our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, via a dream of a blessed moon falling into her lap, the one of whom no other than Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha said, I know of no woman who brought greater blessings to her people than her. The one to whom the fire of hell was now forbidden. The great lover of the priceless deeds of dhikr, fasting and sadaqah. Indeed, one of the elite few chosen women of all time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be well pleased with her. And most assuredly, he certainly is. Ameen. Where was she buried? She was buried in the blessed graveyard of Jannat al-Baqi. Our dear mother was laid to rest in that hallowed graveyard, about which we have a very interesting report. And Daylami in his Musnad al-Firdaus, number 8123, or volume 5, page 260, Kanzul Oman, number 33492, or volume 12, page 262, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect from this Baqi and from the Harm 70,000 people who will enter paradise without giving accounts. Each one of them will thereupon further intercede on behalf of another 70,000 people. Their faces will be like the full moon. SubhanAllah. So in this beautiful report, directly from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 4,900 million, if you take it literally, will enter paradise without reckoning from this ummah, but because of Jannat al-Baqi, and their faces will be shining like the full moon. So you'll expect that all the mothers are included, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst such fortunate souls who can also be buried there. And if not, be amongst those for whom these noble souls will intercede for. Ameen. So what's fascinating is, who will they intercede for? So if you've got a number, you've 70,000 with each, you know, it's, well, how many people do you know? So obviously this seems to indicate that they are choosing certain categories of people to intercede. But maybe one of them are those who are acquainted with their sacrifices and lives. So hopefully, inshallah, by going through their blessed lives, we will be also worthy for the intercession of our mothers. Radiyallahu ta'ala. I conclude by asking my Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for any shortcomings with regards to describing one of his most beloved servants after his chosen prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. For after all is said and done, the ink and pages eventually finish. were not so the endless virtues and rank of our dear and beloved mother Sayyidah Juwayriya radiyallahu anha. I conclude with the words of the exalted subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's fascinating is most of the verses in praise of our mothers are in Surah Al-Ahzab. So in Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33 verse 32, our exalted Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim.
Ya nisa'a an-nabiy lastunna ka ahadim mimman nisa'ah.
O wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are not like any other women. O wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are not like any other women. Think about that. Allah Ta'ala himself has made it clear, they are not like the rest of the females. He goes, you are different. Because you are related to, you've been joined with my messenger. I've chosen you for my messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another verse, in Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33 verse 6, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he says, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim.
النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is closer to the believers than even their own selves, and his wives radiyallahu ta'ala anhum are their mothers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is closer to the believers than their own selves, and his wives, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, are their mothers. So these verses should be enough, right? If you think about it, if somebody goes, who's saying these are special people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In how many verses? Does it really matter, brother? One verse should be enough. Strange question to ask. Verse after verse. Now look how interesting. Allah ta'ala first mentions his beloved in this verse, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet is closer to the believers than their own selves. And the companions will often highlight this. In Imam Malik's Muwatta, the companions will often say to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are more merciful to us than even our own selves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are more merciful to us than even our own selves. Before they ask the Prophet a question, they would say this respectfully. Now think about that. Why did they say that? Because Allah Ta'ala has told you. The Prophet is closer to the believers than their own selves. How much do you love yourself? Allah, the Prophet loves you more than yourself. Somebody goes, how is that possible? Take it up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about that. Right? You can't love him more than he loves you. No matter how much ashik you are. The hadith is in Hakim and is Mustadrak Ibn Hibban Sahih. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm paraphrasing, he said, when two believers love each other, the one who's closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more beloved to him, is the one who loves his brother more. So here the Prophet is highlighting a very interesting thing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, matter of the heart, not to do with deeds. You've got two brothers, so think of the brothers. We're all brothers, mashallah. One of us is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the rest of us. And what's the cause of that? Because he loves the brothers more than they love him. This is a secret of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is that related to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You can't beat him. He loves you more than you love him. Otherwise you become the greatest. Think about that. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu could not love the Prophet more than the Prophet loved him. So forget about you. And when you go to Abu Bakr Siddiq's love for the Prophet, it blows your mind. And yeah, the Prophet loved him more. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the Quran says the Prophet is closer to the believers than their own selves, that's why he's Habibullah. That's one of his titles. The Prophet himself said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Tirmidhi Hasan, I am Habibullah. I am the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People don't get it. Because is the Prophet boasting there? No, he's just giving you a statement of fact. But then what does he say, subhanahu wa ta'ala, immediately after mentioning that? Wa, he's added it, meaning it's not separate. Wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum, and his wives are their mothers. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious, after mentioning his beloved's intimacy with you, he loves you more than you love him. He then talks about the mothers of the believers. Why is that interesting? Because that's telling you again something about their secret. It's the heart. They have the status because in Ibn Majah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am like a merciful father to you all. And then he went to mention a command sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did he say he was to us? He likened himself to the father. He says, I am like a merciful father to you. But this is his humility. Why? Because he loves us more than our father. But he likened himself to the father. Why did he say father? Because his wives are your mothers. So if the Prophet sallallahu is a merciful father to us, more than our own father, then what about the mothers of the believers? And yet, what do fruitcakes do? Curse them. Imagine what's special about them. Coming out of statements like this, astaghfirullah. A third verse in Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 33. Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.
إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا.
Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only intends to keep filth away from you, O members of the family, and to purify you with a thorough purification. This is the verse of purification. ويطهركم تطهيرا. Notice Allah ta'ala uses the word purity twice. وَيُطَحِّرُكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. To purify you is enough. But that's not enough for the Prophet's wives. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To purify you with a thorough purification. But not yurid, intends. Allah Ta'ala intends it, meaning it's not automatic. You have to do something. The Prophets are ma'asum. They're given it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Intending means you have to fulfill a task. I intend this for you. The family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another verse. Imagine what's happened to these verses. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 53, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, "Audhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim."
وَمَا كَانَ لَكُمْ أَن تُؤْذُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَن تَنْكِحُوا أَزْوَاجَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ أَبَدًا. إِنَّ ذَٰلِكُمْ كَانَ عِنْدُ اللَّهِ عَظِيمًا.
And it is not right for you that you should annoy Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor that you should ever marry his wives after him. Verily, that would be an enormous sin in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sight. Subhanallah. So Allah ta'ala himself is explaining something. He goes, you should never annoy Rasulullah. Now why is that interesting? Why does Allah Ta'ala mention that and then talk about his wives? It doesn't take a, you know, mufassir to understand what Allah Ta'ala is getting across. Because don't annoy my beloved by annoying his wives. Then he says, you should never marry his wives after him. If you do, this would be an enormous sin in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning you start, you're marrying your mother. Why is Allah Ta'ala given him this sanctity? Because of the enormity of the prophetic rank. Think about it. It's all about Rasulullah. About nobody else. Rasulullah makes things great. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why are our mothers great? Not because of their salat. Not because of their worship, even though it's amazing. Not because of their purity. It's because of Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why are the Sahaba great? Not because of their worship. Not because of their sacrifice. Though it's amazing, it's because of Rasulullah. It's all about Rasulullah. La uksimu bihad al-balad wa anta hillum bihad al-balad. I swear by this city, and you are a resident of this city. Which city does Allah Ta'ala swear by? Makkah. Then he explains why. Because you're a resident. Because of you, Makkah is holy. There'd be no Makkah without you. What's in Makkah? The Kaaba, our Qibla. There'd be no Kaaba, there'd be no Qibla without Rasulullah. So what does that tell you? It's all about, it's the enormity of the prophetic rank. Therefore, if you find fault with his wives, you're finding fault with Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You find fault with his students, you're finding fault with Rasulullah. You can't separate them because they are who they are because of Rasulullah. And the only ones who honor them because of their status is the Ahlul Sunnah. Because we don't dare speak about them because they're all related to the Prophet. Allah Ta'ala chose them for his beloved. sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And finally, in Surah Al-Fajr, Surah 89, verse 27 to 30, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim.
Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati.
O soul in complete rest and satisfaction, come back to your Lord, well pleased and one pleasing unto Him. Enter you then amongst my servants. Yes, enter you into my paradise.
SubhanAllah.
So Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says, if your nafs becomes mutma'inna, nafsul mutma'inna, the nafs at peace, what does that mean? It means that you're not now fighting, the nafs is given up. The nafs is basically got a white flag up. So what does that mean? The nafs, if you negotiate with your nafs, you're not nafsul mutma'inna. Right? For example, how much sins can I get away with? You're not nafsul mutma'inna. You're negotiating with it. How much sins can I get away with it? What sort of a negotiation is this with it? Right? Think about that. Right? Nafsul mutma'inna is, I don't care what you say. I'm going to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the nafs gives up. And in fact, it becomes peaceful. And then suddenly what happens? The deeds that you, which most of us find difficult, they love to do. Do you get love from offering salat? Most of us say no. From reading the Quran? Most of us say no. Fasting? Most of us say no. Why are you doing it? Rewards. That's the, you know, no, nothing wrong with that. Your nafs is under control. This is nafsul mutma'inna. Every one of the companions had this. If you don't think they did, then go and join your brothers in it. Astaghfirullah. Think about it. Shaykh so-and-so is nafsul mutma'inna. Imam, one brother, you know, astaghfirullah. Because Imam Ghazali was nafsul mutma'inna. So then I couldn't help it. I provoke him sometimes. Because what about Muawiyah radiallahu anhu? Should have seen his face. Didn't have to say anything. He was thinking about it. Are you thinking about a non-Sahaba? Without question, he's nafsul mutma'inna. Sahaba isn't. Think about that, right? So what is, who is Allah Ta'ala talking to? 100% he's talking about the Sahaba. 100%. Everyone is nafsul mutma'inna. Why? Because of the enormity of the prophetic rank. If you saw the prophets, if the prophets cast his blessed eyes upon you, you become greater than all of the awliyas combined. Because of the enormity of the prophetic rank. Can't you understand what I'm telling you? Think about that. Not because of their deeds. So what does Allah Ta'ala say? O nafsul mutma'inna, come back to your Lord. Interesting. Where did you come from? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People have to think about that as well. Where did you come from, brother? The Big Bang. Right? Brother, again, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You go back to Him, well pleased, well pleasing. Then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Fadkhuli fi ibadi. Enter with my servants. Wadkhuli jannati. Enter into my paradise. Allah Ta'ala has this said paradise is mine. Isn't everything His? Why is He linked paradise to Himself? Because anything He links to Himself is beyond comprehension. So this is a beautiful way to conclude the lives of the companions, especially those who were from the august Ahlul Bayt radiyallahu ta'ala. And of course there's direct texts. Abu Bakr Siddiq, when this verse was revealed, he sighed. And somebody, the Prophet ﷺ said, why are you sighing, Abu Bakr? Because, Ya Rasulullah, whoever this is said to upon their deaths, they are truly fortunate. And the Prophet ﷺ said, you're one of them, Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. In another report, when Abdullah ibn Abbas passed away, when he was being lowered into the grave, they saw a white kind of a bird enter his shroud. And then they heard this verse. Right? So it was said for Abdullah ibn Abbas. It was said for Sayyidina Hamza when he was martyred. Sayyidina Fatima when she passed away. Any contradiction? Of course not. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala makes the living hear it as well. But we can be amongst these. But the condition is nafsul mutma'inna. It's only for them. SubhanAllah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? So سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات واصبر الحق واصبر الصبر صدق الله العظيم.